Welcome to the Open Doors Podcast. I'm Janine.
I'm Marissa.
I'm Yvette.
This is a place where we would like to welcome you into our stories of rising and of falling, of laughing and of crying, of loving and of losing. We aren't perfect. We definitely don't have it all together. We don't even fully understand, but we do have each other. And because of that, we have an open door.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 3. How's everybody doing today?
Really good.
Good, yeah.
I want to give a special shout out to our friend Kelly for our new official Open Doors Podcast mugs. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly. Yeah. We love you. Thank amazing. You for thinking of us. We really appreciate that.
Yes.
All right. We had talked early on when we first started this podcast that we were going to have like guests come on and so we can kind of share with other people and get other perspectives. And so we decided this week we're going to have our first guest, James. Welcome to the Open Doors Podcast.
Welcome, James.
Welcome, James.
Hello, and thank you very much for the warm welcoming.
Uh-huh. We're so happy to have you. And I think it's pretty cool because it's, again, we said in the first episode how it's like generations. Like I'm 48, Marissa's 35, Yvette's 24, James 14. So I feel like we kind of get like a really wide variety of perspectives and opinions and hopefully can kind of like reach everybody. And there was a couple of other people who wanted to be a guest, but guess what? You're not first. You know who you are.
Sorry.
Not sorry. Just kidding. All in good fun.
Yeah, you can also open the window if you want.
They will understand. True. All right. Well, anyways, welcome back. This week we were again asking and like really praying about the topic. The word that we kept getting, which is kind of a tough word to share on, is trust. And I felt like, again, at church, I kind of heard that word. I heard the word trust, and I was like, okay, all right. And I mentioned it to the girls, and Yvette had also heard that.
Yeah. Last week, the same happened to me. I kept hearing, like, trust in my mind, and Jesus, like, whispering that word. And it has been actually like a trial this week about trusting and doubt. And last week was also like hard. So it was he trying to push, no, work on that, work on trust. So.
Trust has layers. There's layers to trust.
Yes, that was my first question is how are we possibly going to fit trust into one episode? And we don't know where this episode is going to take us. No. So we could turn this into 2 parts, 3 parts. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But thanks for coming along the journey with us. I think once we decided on the word trust, there was so much confirmation throughout the week. Mm-hmm. You know, trusting in God and the plan that he has for you. Trusting each other. Trusting the world. I mean, there are so many different layers, as you said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, trust cannot exist without doubt.
Yes.
The same happened with faith. For me, faith coexists with doubt.
Fear.
And fear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the real meaning of faith is, like, being sure that something is going to arrive, something better. And even if you are in doubt, in fears, that's when faith grow and burn. Through the doubts. So it's like quite of impossible don't having doubts in trusting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like a coexistence and we have to fight for the balance between them. So yeah, I don't know. I had a tough day today. So, and I can hear in my mind what you told me, like run to Jesus. So if there is anyone that is today listening to this podcast and is having a bad day, you are not alone. I mean, I had a bad day today too, and probably Marissa had one yesterday, and Janine the other day, and James too. You are not alone, but in this bad, you have 2 options. You keep it to yourself, and you drown in your doubts, fears, anxieties, or you run to Jesus. And today I choose to run to Jesus. You know why? Because I just woke up sending this text message to Janine and Marissa saying, guys, I have a bad day today. I woke up bad. And I decided to go to the church alone. So yeah, that was my choice. My choice was faith. My choice this morning was hope, trust, and Jesus. And today I'm recording the podcast, you know, so yeah, I had two options and I made my choice. So I hope you made your choice.
I love that. I love that. I love everything about it. And I think, like I said, there's layers to trust. Something like Marissa and I were talking earlier, and she was like, do you find it easy to trust people? And so I was like thinking in my mind, I was like, yeah, you know, I trust people. And then I thought about it and I was like, maybe I don't. Because in all honesty, when I really started to have my faith and I started to believe in God and it started to really matter to me, I remember I didn't want to show people that part of me. That's private. That's for me. I didn't want to share it with other people because I didn't want anyone to think that I wanted them to be what I was. So that was like the first part of it. But I was also protecting myself because I didn't want to be judged and I didn't want to be hurt. And I think deep down, maybe I was afraid of rejection. So there was a little bit of fear. I remember, this is coming to my mind right now, I remember when I first really started to have faith. And I remember I was sitting down talking to my dad because we used to have all of these really great conversations. I loved talking to him. I just wanted more. And I could remember him being like, that's great, you know, Janine, it's so wonderful that you have this faith and that you're learning and you're growing. But, you know, you're going to have to share that with people. And I remember I was like, no, I don't. And he was like, yeah, you do. I remember I was like, I don't want to share this with other people. This is for me. This is about me. And in my opinion, at that time, it felt so real because Jesus was showing me how much I mattered and I loved it. But I did not want to go out and make myself vulnerable to other people because I just wasn't there yet. And my dad looked at me and he was like, okay. And he just let it go. But I never forgot him saying, it's not about Jesus and me. Christianity is religion of relationship. Like, you have to be willing to be a little bit open and trusting with other people. And I'm not going to lie, that was terrifying to me at the time. And even still now, I know I'm on a podcast and it doesn't seem like that would be true, but I am very cautious about who I'm willing to really open up to. I've gotten better, obviously, I'm older and better able to do it, but I could remember being really afraid of being rejected, really, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the number one reason why we have a hard time trusting people is the rejection and the judgment that we're going to get from them if we show our authentic selves. For me, this sharing this podcast with the world is very different because it's kind of like having a conversation with everybody about your innermost parts, but you're not really having it face to face. So then people are coming up to us at work or through text or social media. I listened to your podcast and I was like, oh gosh, did I say something? You know, did I say something I wouldn't say to you in person? But I think that's the part of this journey is learning how to trust people through conversation. Before I knew Jesus, I didn't trust all that well. I kept my circle very, very small. And I removed people, especially in my friends. You know, as we grow up, we change and we transform into different people or whatever it was. But especially through the end of high school, college, early college, and in my 20s, it was very easy for me. I'm like, okay, you know, you and you understand my life now. So I trust you. You know, you do these things and we're on the same path or the same wavelength. So I'm going to trust you, but now I'm going to remove this one because there's no room for anybody else. Like, there's only a certain amount of trust that can go around. Mm. And then when something else would change in me, I was like, okay, done with you. Now move on to the next person who can understand me. And now I just feel like that's not who I want to be anymore, first of all. And second of all, I've learned to expand that circle so widely. And when you expand that circle so widely, first of all, the random people that show up in your life or the random people you do meet and have those conversations with, deep conversations with, that sometimes, you know, would I talk to my family like that? Would I share this with them? But just putting yourself out there with that trust, and it's the trust that God asks you to have in people. And when you do it, it feels good. It gives you freedom. Like, you are not in that little, like, looking around anymore and afraid. It mm-hmm. removes the fear and it opens more doors.
Yeah.
You know?
And so. I'm a high school student, so of course I'm familiar with the whole, you know, figuring out who's really your friend type thing and who to trust. And I've found that you more stick around people who you're, I don't want to say familiar with, but who are kind of like you and who you can, like, stick around. But you also got to get, you got to trust people enough so that you could open up your circle and that you could open up to maybe something out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. I totally hear that.
Yeah. For me, it was a little bit different. Before Jesus, I had all these friends, call them friends. They were garbage, and I was not my best person either. So when I knew Jesus for the first time, he just took me and put me in the United States, you know, totally alone. He removed everything that was bad for me. And I was like, okay, so this is what happened when I start trusting you. You just put me alone. And then I kept walking and I've learned that I was like a white paper. So he started rewriting who I was, who I really was. And my life was in white because I was, you know, new in a new culture, a new country. And I was like not knowing anyone. And he chose. I feel like if he has chosen like my companies, you know, I found you, I found the prayer meeting. I have now two best friends, but they are amazing. And maybe before I was having, you know, 15 people and gossiping and lies and, you know, that was not. And now I'm proud and I'm glad because when I see the people that is around me, I can see Jesus in them. When I cannot do it by myself, I have you. You can do it. And when we cannot do it, he can. But now I can see the love and the grace of Jesus in all of you. How you encourage me, how you help me with my burdens. You are like, I cannot have Jesus here. I cannot see him. But when I need that hug of him, I have Janine. When I need that friend to encourage me, I have Marisa. When I need that Jesus that is going to be my friend, I'm going to learn and I feel, you know, comprehend, I have James. When I need, I don't know.
I love it.
Yeah, like I can find all type of Jesus in the people that is around me now. So for me, it's easier to trust, even though I think that trust, it's not always there. And it doesn't have to be there. I mean, for me, trust is like love. It's a decision that you make every day. You every day decide to trust. If I have to make a decision and I'm just talking to you about that thing that is private for me, I'm deciding in that moment that I'm going to trust you. And maybe that was not this, I was not thinking like that the night before, but at the moment I'm deciding, okay, I'm going to trust. Today I was having this bad day and I said, okay, I'm going to trust. You know, it's not always there and it doesn't have to, because, you know, like, then faith, where you can find the faith, if you always trust. The faith wouldn't exist, it would be like super easy, you know. For me, faith burns in the hell, like not in the hell, but in the burdens, is where you find faith. It's the light that takes you from the hole, you know.
From when you're like feeling low and you don't feel like you can, it's the storm.
Exactly,
it's
but
the storm.
It has to exist, the storm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're thinking of the storm. And how sometimes life comes at you like a storm.
Yeah.
And it's like, how am I gonna trust here? How am I gonna trust now? When it feels like the winds and the waves are coming at me. And I don't know, like, do I trust? Do I rise above? Do I fight through that and rise? Yeah. And it is a battle, but like you said, it's like when you get through it, all of a sudden there's some type of a learning that has taken place and there's some type of a growth that has taken place.
Exactly. What he allows or doesn't allow, we don't know, we don't understand sometimes, but everything has a lesson, everything has a growth. And for me, that's important. Like, for me, that's why it's important, like, the people that is around you and encourage you and guide you. And what I said, like, he is always going to find a way to send you a sign that he's with you. He's always, Yesterday night I was talking with this friend that he was having a bad day and I even didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And I just text him, you know, like, hey, how are you doing? And he was like, bad. I keep praying and nothing is arriving. Like, I'm bored of this routine, issues work, like lies, people, and I keep praying and he's not giving anything. And I was like, how do you know that? Because you are waiting for the big thing, but a lot of tiny things are happening to the way, but you cannot see them. And he was like, I don't know, but I'm tired. I don't feel hurt.
Yeah.
And the crucifix felt on the floor, on the table.
Oh, wow.
And he sent me this picture. And I said, there you go. He's there.
Wow.
Talk about a sign.
Signs. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm circling back to episode 2. I mean, if you're seen and known by somebody, don't you trust them? You know, I mean, isn't it that if I see you and you feel seen by me, you're going to trust me? And I think that's what I feel, I mean, just at this table with the three of you. But I think with the trust, what really struck me was when you said you find yourself telling people these stories about your life that you maybe hadn't even been thinking about. But with that building of the trust in that person, if you're sitting there, the amount of times Janine and I have been alone together as friends. I mean, we've been friends for 10 years, best friends for 10 years in a close relationship, you know, and the amount of times I'm like, why did we just talk about that? Oh, I was 16 years old, or I was 13 or 12 or 24. These little moments in my life that I share with her, it's trusting her with my story. But that story coming out of me inside in my body, because it's held somewhere in my body. And it's causing something, some sort of negative thing in me. Just saying it to her because of that trust changes things. And now my story is shared. And now I can trust her with it. And then I can watch God take it too. I think what some of us struggle with is we know what it's like to lose trust in people. Whether it be friends or family. So we lose trust in God. Because we mimic our relationships with him until we really know him as humanity. But he's not anything like any of us. And we can trust him with those deep, dark stories, things that happen to us, wounds, shame, guilt, whatever it is that you have that you're holding on to, and bringing them from the darkness into the light.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not easy to go back into those stories or those wounds or those things that hurt us. But when we bring them out, they get healed just by saying them out loud.
And you have to trust the person that you're going to be sharing with. And the person has to be trustworthy. And I think that that's where, like, that ability to connect with other people and to just be real, even when it feels like they're not going to understand. But for them, like, sometimes I feel like, for me, if somebody's willing to listen to me, really listen to me without trying to fix me, just listen to my story and be there for me. I think that that is huge. And something that was said earlier, a word that you said earlier really stands out to me. And I think the word is encouragement. I think when you're encouraged by the people that you do surround yourself with, that it does help to build trust in you. And I feel like God does do that. He encourages us to move forward. He encourages us. And I feel like the more I've gotten to know him, I've been in this relationship with him for like 20 years now. And I do feel like the more I've gotten to know him, the more he has gradually opened me up to being more open to just about everybody. And it really doesn't matter where you come from or what your story is. I feel like he's made it like, no, like, if I'm gonna judge, which, you know, of course I like to, I think everyone does at some points, you know, but I feel like he'll like sometimes just gently remind me like, no, because, you know, that could be you. And I think that that's something that I learned early on, because I did, when I first started to change when I was younger, I did have a bunch of people walk away from me. Somebody that I was really close to since I was like 12, like, just completely abandoned me because he felt like he couldn't really be in my life anymore because of my change, which I found to be ironic, because I didn't really feel like, I was like, I'm not gonna like do anything to you. You know, this is just where I am. And it was interesting because a couple years later, I ran into him. And I will never forget. I ran into him. We were in a store together. And he was like, hey. He's like, can I talk to you? And I was like, yeah, you know. And he was like, I'm sorry. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, I'm sorry. He's like, I was wrong. He's like, I shouldn't have turned my back on you like that. He's like, I just didn't like the choices that you were making because it made me feel like maybe I had to do something and I wasn't ready then, but I'm ready now. And that was huge for me because I really did feel the rejection of that. And I was very happy to hear that he was willing to accept me, you know, in where I was at that time.
I feel like in being vulnerable with not just God, but everyone, you're kind of showing your true self. You're taking that mask of almost perfection, that mask of that you're all right, that you've got this all under control. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, control's just an illusion. Mm-hmm. Nothing's in your hands. You got to lay it and you got to give it to God.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. Like, that's what I told to my friend yesterday. I told him, like, why you don't ask God? Like, and he was a super stressed too because his car is broken. And he told me, like, I tried everything and nothing works. And I was like, have you tried about asking Jesus to fix your car? And he was like, no, I mean, and I was like, why not? And he was like, well, I mean, it's you know, I mean, I'm going to ask that. I asked him for guidance and help. And I was like, he doesn't want just that we just run to him when we have a big deal. He also wants to be with us in our daily, in our ordinary. Mm-hmm. And I mean, imagine that you are listening to this podcast and you're a mom or you are a dad or a grandfather or grandmother. You want that your kids come to you saying, hey, can you help me with your homework, with homework? I like someone. Can you give me some advice? I'm stressed. I'm having a bad day. Can we talk, mom or dad? You want that, right? So imagine how is Jesus feeling with us. Like, he wants that we just run to him when we have big deals, when we are crying, or just because we are starting to fall in love and we just want to explain it to him, or we are having a bad day. And he wants to be there in our daily. And that means trusting him in everything. Not just running to him when you are really having a big problem and you need his help. No, trust him every day in everything. Even if you think that it's just like a tiny thing, for him it's going to be huge. You know, every time that you decide to trust in him, for him is huge. And I know that it's hard. He didn't say that following him will be easy. No, for me it's one of the hardest things. But I mean, you have like all the people that we are in the same boat. I mean, I promise you, in this, we are in the same boat. So when you feel that you cannot do it, just talk to a friend, talk to Jesus, listen to this podcast. You are not alone. And we have a friend, Jose, that I love what he always says. He always says, your world is not falling apart, it's falling into a place. So in the middle of all this storm is where you will find Jesus, is where you will find friends, is where you will find family, love. They are going to be next to you. And if not, Jesus is going to put people that is going to help you. I promise that. He did it with me.
No matter how big the waves may seem, I feel like there's always someone else in there.
Exactly.
Especially God. I mean, in the Bible, we see Peter step out onto the water. Mm-hmm. And he walks on the water as Jesus calls him out. But then he sees how big the waves are and he starts getting afraid and he starts to sink. But I feel that when we start to sink, I feel like in some way, whether it be through a TV show, whether mm-hmm. it be through a friend, there's always going to be his hand reaching out for you. And he's always going to pull you out. And you may ask him, never let go. And he won't let go.
No, never. And the hand can be a book, a picture, a song, a friend. I mean, Jesus has a lot of ways to appear in our lives.
I mean, exactly. I might share a little bit of my story. I feel like Jesus mm-hmm. asked me to share it before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I have something else to say. But now it sounds like it's time. First of all, if anybody's seen Aladdin, I had a vision of God on the magic carpet. And like I was Jasmine, do you trust me? Like, yes, Jesus, I'll go on the magic carpet ride with you. I think what you said was interesting about the small things, asking him for the small things. Because on the flip side, I think it's really hard to ask for the big things because we're afraid. Mm-hmm. We're afraid to ask for the big things because what if it doesn't happen? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to let myself, you know, I don't want to ask because if I ask and he says no, then what? Then what? You know, do I still trust him? I don't know. So I think it's, trust is a journey. Mm-hmm. Trust is a journey in a relationship with people and with God. My husband died 4 years ago of cancer, and I was 31 years old, and I asked big, but maybe I didn't. I don't know. I don't know if I asked big to for him to be healed on earth and live longer than the time that we had when we were married. You know, what was I gonna do? Where was I gonna go? And I know I had a choice at the time. It didn't feel like I had a choice. It was like God or nothing. But I knew my husband Brian was in heaven. And I knew that. I trusted that. So the thought was, okay, well, Brian, if you're there and you're with Jesus, well, I guess you guys are a package deal. I guess I have to still turn to Jesus. And I've just been on this beautiful journey of 4 years and trusting and every part of it, you know. I mean, I'm a little at a loss for words that I just said that out loud, but I've been through different paths on the grief journey, which really isn't a grief journey anymore. It's just a life journey. And there were a lot of decisions I had to make, a lot of decisions, particularly in the last year. And that's where I feel like my trust in him had really risen to a different level. You know, earlier in the year, I was faced with a big decision and I heard a really big, clear answer from Jesus. I could go one way or I could go the other. And I chose the way that Jesus was calling me to. Not because it was easy, not because I wanted to, but because it's what he asked of me. And I had grown to know him so much, so deeply, so intimately, that I felt like I had no choice to mm-hmm. trust him. Even if none of it made sense. And then it did start to make sense once I decided to trust him. And then there was another decision I had to make. And again, it was like, really? You want me to do this now? Okay. You know, and I just feel like I said, particularly this year, you know, I've just been faced with decisions to make. And I could talk for 10 hours on all the decisions, and I won't. I just think what I've learned is trusting him and his plan, like I said last week or the week before, I don't remember. This isn't really exactly the way I would have chosen to live my life. Not live my life, I shouldn't say that. Chosen the path my life took, becoming a widow, dating again, selling a house on my own, buying a house on my own. Like, I wouldn't have chosen to do all those things. Big things or have all those things happen to me. But I do know that when they did happen to me, good and bad, because of my trust in Jesus, because of my surrender to him, because when he let out his hand to me and mm-hmm. I reached back for it and held it and said, okay, like Peter did mm-hmm. in the water, my life did fall into place. And Just Be Held was the first song I heard when I sat in a chapel 10 years ago with Janine. Or 9 years ago with her and sat there. And that's when my husband was diagnosed with cancer. So when your partner is diagnosed with cancer and your life turns upside down and then you're listening to a song called Just Be Held that says your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. You want to take that device you're listening to that song on and throw it at the wall because no, it's not. How could it? But standing here right now, you know, and I know it doesn't make sense because mm-hmm. why would I choose the things? I don't choose the things, but they happened and my life is falling into place now. And it's because I grabbed his hand. And I think when he reaches out his hand, and I love the scene. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first Pope was like, took a second to trust Jesus. Yeah, I'll take your hand. I'll walk on that water with you. And then in a second later, he was like, no, I'm sorry. I don't trust you anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we are. Mm-hmm. And that is just how we are. And I think it's almost like a challenge. Like, you know, do you trust me again? Do you trust me again? Do you trust me again? Maybe I don't say yes every time.
You remind me to Thomas a little bit with what you explain. Mm-hmm. Like, what happened to Thomas and the scene when he's, you know, like crying mm-hmm. to Jesus, like, why? I don't understand why. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he doesn't give you an answer, but he always says, trust me.
And then eventually does give you an answer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but not in the way that you think that he's going to answer you.
Of course not.
And his time is not ours, but that's really hard to understand. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so funny when you were talking, Marissa, I actually, like, it's weird. I, like, as you were talking, I actually saw, like, you step out. I just had this image in my mind of you just stepping out into the water and just, like, owning that decision to trust. And I've watched you through these years. I've watched you do that over and over and over, really from day one, before he was even diagnosed. And I know that, like, you know, there's always been the back and forth because that's real. It's the real part of what this is, you know. But I will say this, and it's weird that this is the topic right now that we're even talking about this, but I actually had a thought this morning that came to me when I was praying about the podcast. And I was thinking about when Brian was first diagnosed, and I ran into him at the supermarket, and I'll never forget it because he was, like, all dressed up from work, and Brian was kind of private, and he, you know, he didn't want to share everything with everybody all the time. And Marissa and I always talked about everything, so it was like, oh my God, I know everything, but I can't act like it. So, but he walked right over to me, and I'll never forget it. He walked right over to me, and he was like, so you know what's going on. And I remember I was like, yeah. And he was like, I just want to tell you. He's like, Marissa's decision to have this relationship with God is the only way that I would be able to do what I'm doing right now. And he looked me dead in the eye, and he had such conviction, and he had such trust. And I was just, like, staring, and I just listened. And he was like, no, are you listening to me? It is her faith that has gotten me to a position where I am able to accept this and fight. And I remember, and I was like, and you know, he talked to me for 45 minutes. And I just remember walking out of there feeling the power of that witness. So even in those moments, in the very beginning, because you and I were just getting to really know each other, and you did say yes so early on, and that really did have that impact on him. And it just had such an impact on all of us, really. And I think it's like what we were saying about the ability to see in the middle of it, in the middle of that storm, when you just don't know.
To see the cross.
Yeah, there is that cross, and there is that resurrection. And I do remember my own story of when my grandma was in the hospital and she was dying and she had Alzheimer's, and I just remember thinking, like, this is one of the most horrifying diseases you can ever imagine. And I remember, and I was in my relationship with God at the time, so I went home and I was, like, yelling, and I was like, I don't understand you. And I just remember him, he was like, he did respond to me. He was like, he showed me this giant puzzle. It was like, it must have been like a million size piece puzzle. It was giant. And he, like, took one little piece and he was like, this is what you see. He's like, I see the whole thing. Trust me. And I was like, okay, I'm going to trust you. And all these years later, all these different little yeses later, I can say, like, with firm conviction, yeah, I do trust him. Because, like Peter said, since we're talking about him, to whom shall we go? Who else are we going to go to? And the truth of the matter is I saw Brian's eyes. I saw what your yes did for him. And, you know, I don't know that I would have that any other way, because life is what it is. It's going to come at us, every single one of us. And it's like you have a choice. It's like what you said at the beginning. You go one way or you go another.
Where there is a yes, there is also a no. Mm-hmm. That's something I learned recently also. You always encourage us all to say yes to Jesus. Say yes. Say yes. Mm-hmm. At the prayer meeting. Say yes.
Just say it.
It's not easy to say yes, but it's also understanding that it is a choice. Mm-hmm. It is a choice. You can either say yes or you can say no. And I know my story was very big and quite deep, but just so you know, those little tiny things that you were talking about.
I don't really sense.
There's the yes too. There's the trust too. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus, you want me to buy this shirt? No. Okay, I'll buy this one. Like, it doesn't have to be this. It's not this. It is, yes. I'm not diminishing anything, but I'm just saying, like, I don't want anyone who's listening to not understand that the smallest of yes matters just as much as the biggest yes.
Yeah.
A big decision, a little decision, any tiny little yes makes a difference.
Amen.
Yeah. And sometimes, me the first one, we are just focused on that big yes, mm-hmm. that sometimes we just forget, like, all the beautiful things that are going on in your life too. You know, it's like you don't give them the space and the matter that they deserve to. And the other day, for example, when we were having this prayer meeting party at mm-hmm. Janine's house, there was a moment that I was sitting, you know, in the blanket, and I saw, like, this, how much people, like, mm-hmm. 20 people dancing, holding hands, worshiping, you know, and laughing. And I was, you know, like, in a background, just watching the entire scene. And I thought, like, this is like heaven, you know, like, mm-hmm. it feels like heaven. I was watching all this joy, all this, I don't know, love.
Yeah.
And it was such powerful. And I said, you know, like, this is such like in a scene that I will see, like I will watch in a movie, and I will say, like, wow, this exists. Yeah, it has, you know. And now I was being like able to enjoy it with people that I love, that type of a scene that just Jesus can create. And sometimes I'm just, or you or everyone, we are just focused on other things, on other people's lives, what they get, and you know what they have, and you know, but, and you forgot all that already Jesus have given to you, you know. Like, sometimes I'm just like, Jesus, why not this? Jesus, mm-hmm. tomorrow I'm going to go to Janine, like, Janine, I don't feel hurt, you know? And then I try to hold on all the things that he has already given to me. Like, what I explained to you the other day, like, 9 months ago, I was in Spain, lying in a bed alone, crying, stuck in life, with almost depression, I will say. And today I'm here, in the country of my dreams, doing acting in New York, you know, doing a podcast with friends that I love, and just surrounded with this love and grace and friends. And I don't know, like, sometimes I just forget to be grateful instead of having doubts and fears.
Wow. So yeah, I think that's a beautiful, like, I think that's beautiful.
And I feel like, similar to how Yvette's trusting with her acting stuff and how she's trusting in God with that, I'm kind of, every time I step into the gym, even to box, it's a constant trust. Even especially when you step into the ring, it's always that you're not just trusting your coach and the people there, you're also trusting in God that he'll protect you mm-hmm. and that he'll get you there, and he'll continue to move.
I think just boxing alone, that sport is, you know, it's such a challenging sport, and it's you have a team. You have a team that you do trust and that you do work with and that really does support you. But when you get in that ring,
it's you and someone trying to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will never understand.
Yeah. And they always say there's most people say that there's three people in the ring. It's the two fighters and the ref. But there's always a fourth, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's always there. He's always there.
The fire.
Yeah. I was actually just thinking about that. I'm
sorry,
not even kidding.
Jeez.
And it's this constant, like, all right, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And it's similar to last year with school. I was constantly stressed out by the amount of homework after homework after work after work. Then I'd have to go straight to boxing. It's like I never got a rest. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this year, you commented on the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I trust more. I trust mm-hmm. more that I can get this done and that I can get through it
yeah.
and that he'll make a way.
Yeah. And stop putting so much pressure on yourself and just
so
like...
So much stress.
Yeah. It's made a huge difference. I've seen that difference. And like, and I think that this is like a good place to maybe take the podcast to an end, and we can always continue with trust again next week, because I feel like, you know, maybe we will, maybe we won't, because it's just like such a deep topic that can just go, it can just go to so many different places. But I think the bottom line, I think what everybody was trying to say here tonight is that if you're not feeling like it's easy to trust, you're not alone. If you're feeling like sometimes it's really hard and you feel really alone, that's the reality of life. But the more you get to know him, the more you get to step into that relationship, I think it kind of maybe repeats what we said last week. It's like, he doesn't go away. He just doesn't go away. And we could trust and we could not trust. You know, we could put our feet in the water and we could start to look around, and then we could get ourselves back and start to look back at him again. But at the end of the day, he's never going to go. And that's, I think, the good news, is that even in the midst of all of life, and it could be really hard sometimes, even in the midst of it all, he doesn't go. He's going to stay right by your side every second, every minute. And when you start to build that relationship with him, you build relationships with other people who really will step in for you. Like, that's the thing. We are confident enough to step in for each other, to encourage each other, to build each other up. And that's what you do when you trust, because you're a little bit more free and you're a little bit more open.
Yeah, and I just want to say a last thing. Like, don't giving up on faith, trust, and hope is our fight, but we don't have to fight alone.
No.
We are fighting all together.
Amen.
Absolutely, and I think just what you said before, Yvette, love is a choice, and it is hard, and trust is a choice, and it is hard. So even if you think other people have it all together and you're looking at them and you think they're better than me or they're doing it better than me, it's not the case. We're
looking inside.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
yeah, run to Jesus.
I feel like that love and trust, you have to let your guard down. You got to be willing to be vulnerable. You got to say yes to be willing to give yourself out, to show your true self, to show who you really are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. So now is our extraordinary in the ordinary, tiny miracles that you maybe experienced this week. Who would like to go first this week?
I will.
Okay.
There's a special girl named Charlie. Shout out to Charlie. Saturday for our prayer meeting party, as we were getting ready, I turned to Janine and I said, I really hope Charlie makes those chocolate chip cookies for the prayer meeting party. Not only did Charlie make the best chocolate chip cookies for us that night, but two other people made homemade cookies for us that night. And then there was another big platter of the most delicious cookies. So my tiny miracle was chocolate chip cookies from Charlie. Thank you.
They were the best.
Yeah.
I'll go next. With my miracle, I feel like it may have happened like a week ago, but for me, it was, so I had this pressure on me of homework. And so we had to do this big outline thing, and it was due originally Wednesday, and it was ready like Monday or Tuesday, and I was freaking out. I was like, oh no, I gotta get this done quickly. And I walk in, and my teacher, he says, I know this is a silly question, but how would you guys feel about me moving the quiz and the outline to the day after, which would have been the Thursday? And of course, everyone said yes. And so I got that extra day to be able to do my outline and be able to like perfect it, make it good enough so that I know that I can get good on the quiz.
Awesome. I love that. That's a great miracle.
Okay, mine is, I've been having like several ones, but the most powerful one I was having, that bad day that we were talking about. And I just woke up and I said, okay, I'm going to go to the 12 p.m. mass at the church. But when I was driving to there, I was thinking like, I actually prefer to have my time with Jesus, you know, my alone time with Jesus, but it's okay. So I arrived to the church at 10 p.m. and there was no one. And I was like, okay, I'm missing something. And then I just looked in Google and there was no mass at 12 p.m. And I had this huge church empty just for me. So I spent my morning just sitting in front of the tabernacle, talking to Jesus. More than talking, hearing him, feeling him, his presence. So that was huge and unexpected.
I love that. I love those, like, it's the unexpected, right? My miracle was actually work-related. I was trying really hard to do this course that I needed to do online, and the computer kept lagging, and it was, like, just not working, and it just seemed, I just kept going, though, even though I knew that there was a really good chance that all of my work would be lost. And I kept going and going, and the computer kept lagging and lagging, and then all of the sudden, the next day, I came in to try and, like, sign in and see that I expected my work to all be lost, and I thought I would have to start all over again. But by some tiny miracle, all of my work was still there, and I just had maybe, like, 10 more minutes to complete. So it was, like, a two-hour course that had taken me probably, like, 4 hours of my time the day before, so to restart would have been upsetting. But my tiny miracle is that I didn't have to start over. It saved my work.
I love that. Janine and computers.
I love it.
I'm terrible with computers. All right. Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week.
We encourage you to keep listening to this podcast. And
we won't be perfect. We promise you that.
Yeah.
And we just want to let you know that you are welcome here. In your imperfections and in your inability to maybe feel like you deserve love, you're just welcome. Everyone, anywhere, any place.
Welcome home, people.
Welcome home.